One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Karma You podcast. This is your host, Chloe Brotheridge. Welcome. Thanks for listening. I am a coach. I'm a hypnotherapist. I'm the author of The Anxiety Solution and Brave New Girl, which is coming out very, very soon and is available for pre-order. So today I am talking to Natalia Bojanic. Natalia is the founder of Form Nutrition and she's a mindfulness teacher. And she shares her story of working in a very high-pressure job in PR to going to live in a monastery in Nepal. She shares with us what mindfulness is and she talks about meditation, the benefits of meditation, what the benefits have been for her, and you know why probably we should all be considering trying to get some meditation into our lives as well. She also shares with us about the Search Inside Yourself Leadership Institute program, which is something that developed at Google, and it's based on neuroscience, and it's a training course to help us to get the best of ourselves. And she shares some really practical things that we can all be doing from this training in our own lives to enhance our mindset and our peace of mind. And we also talk about loneliness, something that affects so many of us. And sadly, there's a lot of shame around it. But we talk about that and Natalia shares a bit of her experience on that. So just to let you know, I have a free anxiety busting toolkit available at my website, karmayou.com/free. If you head over there, you can get this free download. There are loads of resources in there, MP3s and worksheets and an affirmation MP3, and it really does help to give you tools to manage your anxiety and become a calmer and more confident person. So check out karmayou.com/free for that. And my book Brave New Girl is going to be out very, very soon. It's coming on the 2nd of May. If you are a people pleaser, if you struggle to say no, if you've ever experienced imposter syndrome or found that you struggle to speak up and be heard because perhaps you're shy or perhaps you're an introvert or perhaps you worry about what other people think, this book is for you. It's about how being a bit brave can lead you to become your most confident self. I'm taking you by the hand and taking you through the steps to become your most confident self. So you can check that out. It's on Amazon, it's in Waterstones, on Audible, all available for pre-order now and available to have and read from the 2nd of May.
This podcast is sponsored by Sweaty Betty. With beautiful and high-performance activewear from bomb sculpting leggings to supportive sports bras, Sweaty Betty has you covered for every single sport. From the gym to the yoga studio to, let's face it, relaxing or working from home, you will often find me wearing my favourite activewear brand, Sweaty Betty. Their bomb sculpting leggings have become my new favourite. I have to say, I feel really good in them. They're just cut beautifully. And best of all, their leggings are built to last. They use high quality and durable fabrics. I actually have a pair of Sweaty Betty leggings from a couple of years ago that I still use and love. So Sweaty Betty are offering listeners 20% off when you enter the promo code KarmaU on their website. So you can head over to sweatybetty.com/podcasts and enter the code KarmaU, that's KarmaYou, and you get 20% off. Definitely check out their stuff. I think you're going to love it.
So let's get into the interview with Natalia. So welcome, Natalia. Thanks so much for joining me today. How are you?
Really well. Thank you for having me. It's such an honour.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Can you tell us what it is that you do and how you got to where you are today?
Okay, how many minutes do I have? It's just because it's a little bit complicated to explain what I do in a sense that some people think you should just have like one job, and I don't have just one job. So I have like two lines of action, let's put that way. One, it is through peace. And I teach meditation. I have an app called Sexy Mind. And I also, I am a certified teacher for the program called Search Inside Yourself that it was developed at Google and based on mindfulness, neuroscience, and emotional intelligence. So I teach in corporate, and I'm a co-founder of Form. Form, it is plant-based nutrition for body and mind, and there is a mindful element into everything that we do, from carefully selecting the ingredients that goes into our blend to donate a meal to a family need in the Gambia.
Wow, brilliant. So lots of things going on.
Yeah, so it's like plants, peace and purpose.
Amazing. I'm really curious about how you first got into meditation, because I remember we were having coffee and you were telling me about these retreats that you'd been on, and I was just fascinated by the story and how you got into it.
So before doing what I do, I used to be a PR director. So about 4 years ago, I used to work for brands like Land Rover, Dior, Aston Martin. And then all of a sudden, I was feeling as a communicator was not really sharing a message that resonates with me. And then through the practice of yoga, through the practice of meditation, I was starting to quiet down my mind, and I was starting to trust more that voice that doesn't shout but whisper. And so meditation started more with yoga, I would say, 8 years ago, where I was using my body to get out of my brain in the times that I was really stressed out and feeling unfulfilled, going like through divorce. And I needed advice that didn't rely on me having to go to yoga studio to calm me down, to find inner strength, to deal with the life curves that was being thrown at me. So I downloaded the app Headspace. And from the moment that I started like watching and this first animations, that I got like really fascinated that, you know, there was a mechanism that would help me gain a deep understanding about myself. There was a mechanism to help me manage my emotions. There was a way of like pausing before responding. And long story short, I end up like going to the Himalayas. I trained with a monk who is still like my, let's say, my spiritual advisor. I lived in a monastery in Nepal, and these have been like really transformative experiences. These have been moments in my life that has really uncovered, I think, what is the best in me. And that's why I feel like so passionate about sharing meditation, because I've been now teaching for 3 years. And it's amazing that what meditation does for each individual, it's different, because different people start meditation for different reasons. Some people, they start meditation to reduce anxiety, to increase performance. I had a student who started meditation because he wanted to find a boyfriend. And I'm very happy to report that now she is actually pregnant and is living with a boyfriend. And this is not just because she was sitting and practicing any specific type of meditation. But again, it is because meditation is really key for you to gain a deep understanding about yourself. And the beautiful thing, when you start observing your thoughts, your emotions, and not being heavily identified with them, what tends to naturally happen is that you start to organically gravitate towards the things that brings you joy and happiness. And the things that are pulling you down, the things that is really not serving your higher self, they start to drop. And that has been exactly what has happened in my life. And it is exactly what continued happening in my life.
It's so interesting when you talk about that idea of, I can't remember the exact words you use, but just being able to step back from your thoughts and not be so consumed by them. Because I think, especially when you're suffering from anxiety or depression, it's about really believing those negative thoughts and really getting caught up in worries and thoughts about the past or the future. And actually meditation, it sounds like, is the kind of antidote to that, to really help us to be a bit more in control of our minds rather than our minds being in control of us.
And for, like, I don't have a direct experience with anxiety and with depression, but there was like moments in my life that I felt down. I felt down because like the work that I was doing was not fulfilling. I felt that like going to work, I didn't really have a way and a platform of expressing my creativity. I didn't feel value. I didn't feel heard. And that was sad. The same thing when I was going through a divorce as well. It's difficult, right? No one gets married thinking about like getting divorced, right? But meditation really gave me like the inner strength and perspective. And I think if we are talking about anxiety and depression, again, it is an opportunity to gain perspective. So another way that I like to use meditation, a way of describing it, is that pause that you take that brings perspective. And through perspective, you also gain power, right? And not be heavily consumed by your thoughts. For me, it was also about at the moment of like taking the leap for a new venture, and that might be like going and do my yoga teacher training in India, or going and spend 4 weeks in a monastery in Nepal, or going and do Everest Base Camp. It's also about like learning and gaining awareness about the different voices that we have in our heads and which are the ones that we are going to amplify, right? And which are the ones that we need to like to turn down the volume. And that's all doing to be aware. That's all about like developing the skill of becoming the observer of your mind.
Yeah, that sounds so good. That sounds like what we all need a bit more of.
Well, it's this training. And that's what I like to say. Like, if you have met me 3-4 years ago, I wouldn't be the person that I am now. And it's like neuroplasticity and neuroscience has just proved that your brain changes in function and in structure depending on the stimulus that you give. And if you think of contemplative practices as way of cultivating a virtue of your mind, and after studying like different types of meditations, the meditation that has had like most profound effect in me, and that's why I feel very enthusiastic about sharing analytical meditation, because analytical meditation focuses in the thought. So instead of having that misconception of thinking that what you do in meditation, it is trying to stop thinking, which is impossible, right? Like Jon Kabat-Zinn, who is like the grandfather of the mindfulness movement, he says that asking your brain to stop thinking is like asking your heart to stop beating because you don't like the sound of it. It's not going to happen, is it? So with analytical meditation, I have a theme in my class. And with a theme, I encourage you to hold your thought in a specific thing. So it's an opportunity for self-inquiring and self-discovery, because I believe that deep down we all have the answers that we need. We just need to find the time to quiet down here, you know, and I have my hands in my head, so we can listen here, and now I have my hands on my heart. And that's what we do.
Yeah. And when you say analytical meditation, what do you mean by that?
So we use like deep and penetrative thoughts. So in a way, like just to be like very simplistic in my analogy, when I'm guiding a meditation, I'm basically asking questions. So if we are guiding a meditation towards liberating you from fear, Like, we go into understanding, how do you feel fear in your body? When fear is there to protect you, when fear is there to paralyze you. And sometimes, if we want to find questions, like find answers, a really good way of starting finding these answers is by asking questions. And analytical meditation does that. Analytical meditation is a process of self-inquiry that helps you discovering yourself. And we live in a world that we know more about cars, we know more about fashion, we know more about food, that we know about ourselves. And with this type of meditation, you gain a deep insight about yourself. At least I did. And I see with students as well, the same.
Yeah. What was it like being in a monastery in Nepal for a month? What did you learn about yourself there?
Oh, my God. I will come back tomorrow. I love to talk, but I was a month nearly in silence. We could speak for a few hours of the day, and some of like these 4 weeks you would not speak. But it's like deeply inspiring to live amongst monks, to live amongst individuals that have dedicated their lives to spiritual practices, to the development of their minds. And the discipline that they have towards it is really moving. And I think if anyone applied the type of discipline into any aspect of their lives, anyone would be successful. And like the daily routine was quite exhausting. I would say it's kind of a boot camp for the mind, because I would wake up about 4:30 to do like prostrations. Prostrations are kind of like some salutations for the Buddha, but it's an exercise to humbling yourself. So you go to the floor and kind of do some salutation. And we would have like classes, teaching, guided meditations, group discussions on a book. So you stimulate your mind in different ways until sometimes 9, 10 in the evenings. And I'm not going to say like it was a piece of cake. Some parts of it, I just got a little bit, oh my God, this is too much, because in addition, there is the removal of comfort. So all of a sudden, I live in a very blessed to live in a lovely flat in Chelsea, and all of a sudden, I'm living like in this monastery in Nepal, and this is a good one. This was a monastery that was set up in the 70s to teach meditation and Buddhism to Westerns, but I got like the worst accommodation in the building, and I was sharing a room with three more people from different country, a lady that snored really loudly, sleeping inside of a sleeping bag, having bucket showers with like cold water, food was really good, but it was really limited. So all of that pressure of like not eating avocado for a month or not having like your things really helps you to focus on what really matters, and to build resilience, and to appreciate like everything that you have. There was a similar experience when I was doing my teacher training in India. Like I remember like coming back after my teacher training and having like a proper shower. It was just like so good. So you never take anything for granted anymore. And after being in Nepal, for the monastery that I said is bootcamp for the mind. The day after, I start Everest base camp track, and I've never done a trekking before. I used to be scared of heights, and it was winter time. That's when no one does it, because like the temperature varies from like minus 40 to like 10, 12 degrees. But I thought, you know, I'm in Nepal, I'm close to Everest, I might as well just check it out and have a look and see what it was. And I think I didn't do any specific fitness training, but I'm 100% sure if it wasn't for the mind training, what was exercising my brain from 4:30 in the morning until sometimes 8-9 in the evenings, I wouldn't be able to be so calm, to realize that I can feel fear in my body. I can feel discomfort in every single part of me. The time that I spent in the monastery was really what have made me able to do it. It was only by training my mind I was able to overcome fear. I was able to treat my body and myself with compassion and kindness. I remember like seeing people really pushing themselves, that they have to be like rescued by a helicopter or going down the mountain in a horse, or like being like in a really horrible state. And I really promised myself, I said, Natalia, you're going to be kind to yourself. You're going to try. And if you have anything that is saying stop it, you're going to listen to it. And it was not as an excuse to just say, okay, I tried, but I didn't do. But I think having this accepting and compassionate attitude towards myself is what actually allowed me to not only get there, but get there without a single blister and having fun in the process, really enjoy the process. There was scary moments, but I did it. I wouldn't do it again, but I did it. But I fully recommend if anyone like wants like to test the physical endurance and the mental strength, Everest Base Camp, it is the way to do it. But make sure you have a good shepherd with you. And I was really lucky to have an incredible and very kind guide with me.
And go on a meditation retreat. So it really sounds like, from what you're saying, with meditation, we can train our minds to be able to handle life more easily, the discomfort, the challenges, the fear, with more compassion and more presence. And I think that's really, you know, definitely why I meditate, and I consider it like an essential part of my life. And without it, I don't know where I would be without meditation, to be honest. Definitely not doing this work now, probably on antidepressants and I don't know what, but so it really helped me massively. So yeah, I love your approach and the way you speak about it and explain it. Can you tell us about Search Inside Yourself? What is this?
Yes. What is this? So Search Inside Yourself, it's a program, it's a course that it's taught in 2 days. And it was developed by an institute called Search Inside Yourself Leadership Institute. And this program was originally born in Google 12 years ago. And it was developed by engineer number 107 at Google. So Google now has like over like 80,000 employees. And this person, this engineer, has been there from like the early beginning. And he was like really accomplished in his job, but he realized that he was not getting excited about doing what he was doing. And he needed a new challenge. And his challenge was to create the conditions for world peace in his lifetime. And he realized that world peace, it starts with inner peace. And then we can all have an impact in where we are. And of course, he was at Google, he was at work, and he decided that it would be like interesting to share mindfulness to like engineers in a company that has like a global impact in the world. And then he understood that he needed like neuroscience to kind of back up, to make people understand that meditation and contemplative practice are not like a woo-woo-woo thing full of like mysticism. So there is the neuroscience element where there is a lot of studies, there are a lot of indications on how this type of training your mind can actually have a tangible effect in your day. And the third element of the course, it is emotional intelligence. And this course has been developed by like the thought leaders in the market. So it's a very experiential course. So it's not just about me and a co-teacher going and just like dumping a lot of information on you. But it's also based in horizontal learning, where what we do is actually expanding your capacity of learning. So actually the vessel can hold new information. So there is an element where we are like sharing information, sharing studies. There is an element where we are guiding meditation. There is an element where we are journaling. There is an element where through the practice of like conversations between like pairs or groups. As a teacher, it is an incredible program to teach, because as much as you are sharing, you're also learning from the audience. And I was very lucky to teach at the Samaritans, for example. And there is a part of the course that is all about mindful listening. And you got there to mindful listening, where like you are having a conversation where you're training yourself to not think what is the next thing that you were going to share, but you're actually fully present there for the person. And then I just go, now you tell me about how you practice mindful listening, because you have like way more experience than we do here. And it's a global corporation that now it's not inside of Google anymore, because they realized it was such an impactful program that they created a non-profit organization to spread this program outside Google to other companies as well. I'm nearly certified, and we have like friends from all over the world, like from Brazil to Thailand to Nigeria to Europe, and everyone has the same mission, and it's bringing mindfulness, emotional intelligence, and neuroscience to people that are not necessarily open to it, to people that potentially are curious but they do not know how integrated into their daily lives. And it is important that people understand that although it's called Leadership Institute, is not just for the CEOs, it's not just for the people that have like senior jobs, but everyone is a leader. And that's the belief that everyone can have an impact, everyone can have an influence. And by creating a culture of compassion and collaboration, we can actually achieve higher results. There are studies showing that the number one component for delivering extraordinary work is psychology safety. Is when inside of a team you feel safe to give your opinion. You don't feel like people are going to be closed-minded to new ideas. You will know that setbacks and failure will be seen as an opportunity to grow. And that's when people, they can really express themselves authentically. And from that place, creativity flourishes. But in order to achieve that, you need to start by training the mind. And that's why the course starts in a building block, where we first share about mindfulness, and then we moved into self-awareness, and then self-management, and then from self-management to motivation, and from motivation it goes to compassion, and then leadership. There is like open and public programs that you can buy a ticket depending where you are and go attend the 2-day courses. Or the course can be taught by people like me, that I can go to a company, or I can organize a private event and host the training.
Sounds so, so interesting. Is there anything that you can share from that course that listeners can incorporate into their lives? Or is there kind of a top tip or a couple of top tips from that that you would suggest people could do?
I think the first one, it is especially for an audience that it's new to meditation and they potentially think that they live in a world that is full of demand, that all of a sudden you're bombarded with like 100 different things that is requesting your attention and you just get overwhelmed and you don't know what to do. So there is a practice that it's called like 3-breath practice. So anytime that you feel anxious or overwhelmed by the demands of your day, all you have to do is to stop and take 3 breaths. So in the first breath that you take, breathing through your nostrils, you just bring your full attention to the process of breathing. The second breath, you bring your attention to your body and to any sensations in your body. And the third breath, you just ask yourself, what is important now? And this sounds like a really small thing to do, but just with like 3 breaths, that it doesn't take like more than 30 seconds, you just take a moment to reset your nervous system, calm yourself down. So then you can ask yourself, what is important now? And that will help you with your decision-making process. And that will help you having the clarity of mind to deal with what is in front of you. That's like one of the practices that I personally find quite helpful, because I have a day where I have to take like different decisions on a daily basis, right? In addition to teach meditation, I'm also a co-founder of a plant-based company, and we are a startup. So Form is basically me and my co-founder, Damien, who have to play like different roles at the same time. In one moment, we are opening a new retail account. The next moment, we are like dealing with new product development. The next moment, we are dealing with like a social media inquiry. And the next moment, every single time, there is something in front of me, like asking for my attention. So I have the time to just pause and decide, okay, this is what I'm doing right now. It really helps me work in an effective way.
I love that idea of just asking what's important right now, because I know for me, it's really easy to get overwhelmed by all the things that need to be done and the to-do list that just grows and grows and never seems to get any shorter. And just actually coming back to like, what am I doing right now? What am I focusing on right now? I love that idea. Really powerful.
Thank you. And they're like, so like there are about like I think 26 micro practices within like the course. And I think that's why as soon as I took the course, I decided, okay, I'm going to take this teacher training. Doesn't matter if that is a year long, doesn't matter that I will have to go to San Francisco and then I will have to go to Berkeley. This is how I can give practical tools that people can apply on a daily basis, and actually tools that I can use for myself as well.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you do to stay calm when things get hectic?
There is, I think the other thing that I liked about the course, it is how you handle difficult conversations. And although like the program, it is about cultivating a culture of compassion and collaboration, it is important that people understand that compassion is not an attitude that just allows people to just walk all over you. It's not about being fluffy and saying yes to everything, but actually understanding how to also say no. The most compassionate people are the people who know how to create boundaries. And having like the clarity of mind on how to do that. And with business, if you want to have a growing business, you have to be smart with your decisions. So you have to learn how to say no. You have like to be quite demanding with what you do, but you can remain competitive without being cruel. And one of the things that is a big part of the course is how you manage like the difficult conversations. And difficult conversations are like that conversations that you know it's important to have, but you keep avoiding how to have them. And there is a simple structure on really understanding, first of all, before you have the conversation, what is at stake with that difficult conversation? And sometimes if you're angry about something, understand where is that anger coming from before you address the issue with the person. So you first do the inner work yourself, and then when you're going to present the situation for the person, you present the situation as a journalist is reporting a fact. And then you also put yourself in that person's shoes before you have the conversation with that person. So at the same time that you did the inner work to realize what is in stake for you in that conversation, you also put yourself in the shoes on that other person. And then you go and you assess the situation. And from that side, doesn't matter what is the outcome of the conversation, you will be able to communicate and connect from a more human place. So three things.
Love that.
So first you do the inner work, realize what's on stake with you. And then you go and put yourself in the shoes of the other person, see what it's stake at the other person. And then when you present, you report the issue from a third perspective, from a journalist's perspective, and then see how that conversation, and that is not only at work, even like if you have like an issue with your boyfriend, with your husband, instead of saying, oh, I'm angry at you because you did this, you did that, and you're just not good enough. But just have that sort of conversation, well, why is he doing that? What is like my share of responsibility on that conversation? Then when you present, you don't present from attacking, but you present also making the person understand how you feel about the situation, which is not easy because it puts you in a more vulnerable position. But it's from that vulnerable position that you can have like real conversations from and address like the sore point of the conversation instead of having like just conversations that are just a waste of time.
So is the idea around thinking about what's at stake, is that to try to motivate you to have that difficult conversation, to actually recognize why you're having that conversation?
Yes, why you're having that conversation, or even potentially why you are avoiding having that conversation. Right, if you're going to ask for a pay raise, maybe you might be doubting if you really deserve that increasing salary, or even if you're going to ask to work from home once a week, so have like a bit of time where you're not constantly interrupted by people coming to your desk, where you don't feel like overwhelmed by like meetings where you're not really being productive. When you present the conversation, you don't want your boss to feel you're not competent enough. You don't want like your boss to feel that you're being lazy. So when you ask yourself what is at stake for you, you kind of realize the underlying issues that you can address within yourself, so then you can address with the other person as well.
So interesting. So there interesting. Is a book. I'm sure lots of people can relate to that.
There is a book called A Difficult Conversation. So this whole session of the course is based by this book that was written by three Harvard lawyers who are specialized in negotiation. And Obama, when he was at the White House, he made like his staff read that book, because he thought that it was just like so important that people knew how to deal with like difficult conversation in a nice, skillful way.
What's the book called, sorry? Difficult Conversations?
Yes, and you can buy on Amazon.
Okay, interesting. That sounds good. I'm sure lots of people can relate to that, because it's I think certainly with anxiety, lots of us are people pleasers, find it very hard to say no, find it hard to ask for things because we're worried about what people think. And so that's really good. Really good framework just for starting to overcome that.
And, so and really in the good. Book explain in a way more eloquent way than I just did as well. So the book is really good because it gives you a lot of like practices and exercises. So it really teaches you how to handle difficult conversation, and it's so liberating when you just put out there instead of like just button up and bottle up. Better out than in.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you for sharing that. Can you tell us, is there anything that you're struggling with at the moment, and how are you overcoming it?
I think one of the things that I'm struggling with, it is really being honest with how much I commit myself to. Because I'm in a very privileged position of really love the work I do, that being with form and that being with like mindfulness and meditation. Every single opportunity that comes, I love to say yes. And that sometimes put me in a position where I don't realize all the other things that I'm saying no to. So like having a personal life, having fun, having time with my family, having time with friends. And by like just burying myself at work and with work because I find exciting, and 4 years ago that wasn't the place that I was, and it took me a lot of time to really understand what it is that I was going to do in the world, that it was going to bring fulfillment to my life. And now that I kind of found it, I kind of don't lose a single opportunity. And as a consequence, you end up feeling a little bit lonely. You realize that the interactions that you have, it's via DMs or Instagram or WhatsApp. Sometimes it's not even like calls, like not making time to see friends and having like a one-to-one conversation that is nothing to do with work. It's something that it is a problem. And the other day I was in a talk, and this doctor, he shared that loneliness has the same negative effect in your health as smoking 15 different cigarettes a day.
Wow.
And I said, Jesus, I'm eating like all these green juices, plant-based protein, meditating, and I'm not realizing that I do suffer from like being lonely because I don't prioritize fun, I don't prioritize friends. So I am trying to take a bit of time to like see, at least like physically see a friend once a week. And yes, I'm not going to say that I have done that every single week, but I think I managed a couple of weeks, but there is certainly room for improvement.
That's so interesting. And I think, unfortunately, it's really common. And I think especially amongst women, it seems like loneliness is on the rise, and we're so connected online, but actually loads of us miss out on those real in-person connections. And I can definitely relate to what you're saying. When I was writing my book last year, I just had to be getting my head down, focusing, writing. If I went out, that would just take away from my writing time, so I was having to just say no to things, but realized how much I was isolating myself and had to sort of turn that around. So it's good that you've noticed that that's a problem and you're taking some steps to change that. And just for people listening, to really just be aware if loneliness is a problem, and to think about what action you can take to help yourself, because it is such a big problem, so common, unfortunately.
I remember like a weekend that I realized that the first time I listened to like the sound of my voice was when I was ordering something at M&S, when I was paying for my bill at M&S, and said, oh my god, that's bad.
Yeah. So I think think first step is bringing awareness to that and then thinking about what you can do to change it, definitely. So I've really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for everything that you've shared. Can you tell us about where people can find out more about you and what you do?
Yes. So people can find more about me on my website. It's www.sexymind.co.uk. They can sit and meditate with me. My app, that is also called Sexy Mind, is available for Android. And then if they're curious about like plant-based nutrition for body and mind, they can find us for nutrition.com. Same thing for the Instagram.
Amazing. And I can attest that the form protein shakes are delicious and some of my favorites, so
amazing. Thank you. I think I'm happy you like it. I say that basically what I try to do is turn like our favorite desserts into like a healthy high protein blend.
Is there a tiramisu one or something?
Yeah, there is a tiramisu one. Oh, and it's, have you not tried that yet?
I have tried it.
Otherwise, I'll make sure I send one to you. It's my favorite. It's really, really my favorite because it doesn't have a really strong flavor of coffee and it's not too sweet. It's just like perfect with coconut yogurt and it feels like having dessert.
Amazing. I'm going to have to get some more of that. Thank you so much for chatting to me and I hope to see you soon.
Thank you, darling. Thank you very much for the opportunity and have a lovely day.
So thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Come and let me know what you thought on Instagram. You can find me at Chloe Brotheridge. And if you enjoyed this episode, please do let me know on Instagram and also share it with a friend who might benefit from this as well. And please do subscribe and leave me a review if you're listening on iTunes. Thanks so much. I'm wishing you a great week and sending you loads of love. Hope you'll tune in again soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.